Welcome to Christian News in Focus, brought to you by the Ohio Christian Alliance. Your host is Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis of news and current events from a biblical worldview. Here now with this week's edition of Christian News in Focus is Chris Long.
And welcome to this edition of Christian News in Focus. We're going to have with us on the program today, former senator from Pennsylvania, Rick Santorum, also a presidential candidate in the 2012 Republican primary. In fact, Mr. Santorum picked up 69 of Ohio's 88 counties in the March 6, 2012 primary. And conservatives really massed behind Senator Santorum as he came out of Iowa with great surprise as the leader of the pack, and he won the Iowa caucuses. He went on to win some other primaries, and the Santorum surge was on, you'll remember, back in 2012 in the primary. And so he was making a go at it here in Ohio and just came up short. Really, just 12,000 votes separated him and Mr. Romney on election night. And as a result, that was winding down then, the Santorum primary. But Ohio did, most of its counties, 69 of them, did support Mr. Santorum for president in the 2012 presidential election. And so it was very interesting what happened in that whole primary season. Of course, then Mr. Romney did lose to Mr. Obama, as President Obama then did secure a second term. We're going to talk about the advancement of pro-life agenda in the states. It's obviously on the federal level with President Obama and team, and over in the Senate, there's no pro-life legislation of any significance moving on the federal level. But there is a lot of advancement in the states. Here in Ohio, the heartbeat bill has been reintroduced, and there will be a lot about that this coming fall in the Ohio General Assembly. But there's been other advancements as well, as we have seen well-documented and well-spread throughout the media, and that was the Texas battle. And here to talk about advancement of pro-life agenda in the states and what he's doing now after the presidential election of 2012 is former Senator Rick Santorum. Senator, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks, Chris. Great to be with you, and great to hear your voice again and talk to my friends in Ohio.
Well, we were just talking about how Ohio awarded you with 69 of its 88 counties, and you just thinly lost that primary to Mr. Romney by just 12,000 votes, and with over a million votes cast on primary election night, that was a narrow margin of victory for Mr. Romney, but really showed that a lot of conservatives supported you for your nomination, sir.
Well, we had an absolutely fabulous time in Ohio, and just, you know, it's a lot like my state of Pennsylvania, and particularly the western part. I'm come from western Pennsylvania, and you really throw a hat over eastern Ohio and western Pennsylvania. They're sort of two sides of the same coin, and so it was really very much like coming home for me and campaigning in Ohio. And you know, wonderful. You and so many other folks were so gracious to us when we came there, and I can see why they say it's a bellwether state. I mean, in many respects, Ohio. I think I look at it as probably the decider in the primary as far as we were concerned. But we greatly appreciated the support we got there.
Well, that's right. And of course, a lot of us were disappointed when, we lost Ohio that night. Again, it was by a thin margin, and a lot of us were rooting for you in your campaign. But you didn't stop there with your, you were conciliatory towards Mr. Romney as he became the nominee. You came back to Ohio to campaign for the Romney ticket. Unfortunately, it did not win in November, but you didn't stop there. You launched Patriot Voices. And tell our listeners about Patriot Voices and what you're doing currently.
Well, yeah, Chris, what happened is after the campaign last April when we dropped out, Karen and I really prayed a lot about what we're to do is, sort of get out of politics or jump back in, and how to jump back in if we were going to do so. And we had traveled around Ohio and everywhere else that we campaigned talking about how this was the most important election in our country's history. And I think it's proving out, given what's going on in this country, it's proving out to be the case. We felt we couldn't just say, well, we're not going to be on the ballot, therefore we're going to, pack up our toys and go home. So we decided to launch Patriot Voices and stay in touch with the people who, were excited about what we were talking about out there in the campaign trail. We were talking about the centrality of the family as not just an important part of our social structure, but an important part of our economy. That's one of the topics that's really not discussed, is how critical family life is and marriage is for economic well-being in our country generally, but for the people who are, for individuals as well. And so we talked about that. We talked about the importance of having and the opportunity for people in America to climb the ladder of success, that we have to talk not just about the job creators but the job holders, and how we're going to create a better economy for people to be able to rise. We're going to talk about the dignity of every human life, because if you don't have a platform based on human dignity, that everybody matters, then you get programs like Obamacare, where you're going to pick and choose from a more utilitarian view as to who gets care and how much care they get, and you're going to get the regulations of Obamacare, for example, on freedom of religion, where you don't recognize the dignity of everybody to believe what's in their heart and what's in their soul. So that's a very important component that we talked about in the campaign, and we saw it as an integrated message that talked about the importance of the economic message, but rooted in how faith and family are an integral part of that.
Well, that's right. And after the election, I think a lot of conservatives look to the states where we still maintain a lot of governorships and a lot of majorities in legislatures, even here in Ohio with Governor Kasich and the Ohio House and the Ohio Senate. In fact, Governor Kasich, when he signed the biennium budget just last month, 5 pro-life provisions were included in that budget, and they were significant. One was defunding Planned Parenthood. Another was a ultrasound requirement with an abortion when women go into an abortion clinic. And so other pro-life provisions were in that budget. But when we look across the country, you look at North Dakota, they actually passed the heartbeat bill. That was the same legislation we had introduced here last session. It didn't get through. It passed the Ohio House, got stalled in the Senate, but they're going to rerun it again. It was just announced this week. But North Dakota did pass the heartbeat bill, and that is moving the viability poll back to a heartbeat. Obviously, you and I, Senator, we believe that life begins at conception, but
yes.
Where the court keeps moving the bar as to where viability is, now we're pressing forward with the heartbeat bill, and so we do support that, even though we say that all human life is worthy of protection under the law, and including nascent human life. We believe that life begins at conception. We still can support the heartbeat bill. But in Texas, you were heavily involved in the battle down there, and that got national news as there was a filibuster that stopped a pro-life measure. But tell us the rest of the story, because things did turn around there in several weeks.
Yeah, it did. Gotta give a lot of credit to Governor Rick Perry, who agreed to call a special session. The legislature, unlike Pennsylvania and Ohio, isn't in session, all year long. In fact, they have a very, very abbreviated schedule, just in session a few months here in Texas over a 2-year period. And so for the legislature after the session is over, get back, takes the governor to call for a special session, which he did, to principally consider this legislation. And so he did, unlike the last time where the House of Representatives sort of took their good sweet time, and that includes some Republicans there, in passing this bill, they were able to get it out of the House quickly, give the Senate the time, and there was overwhelming support for it. You know, it's interesting, in the state of Texas, which most people think, well, it's a conservative state, it's a pro-life state, which it is, it had more liberal abortion laws than even California and Massachusetts.
Amazing.
With respect to how late a term of a pregnancy could be aborted. And so, really, Texas was conforming in some respects to other states, but they made that into a big cost 11. In large part, if you look at what happened in the last election, the Obama administration and the Obama campaign figured out that if you play defense on abortion, you're going to lose. So they decided, even though our position is not the majority position, we're going to go out and talk about this issue. We're going to go out and make the argument to the American public and try to mischaracterize, which of course they were doing, the pro-life cause. The problem with conservatives these days and Republicans is we're afraid now to even talk about these issues. We're afraid to take it to them on the national level. And I think what you see is when you do take it to them on a state level, not only can you get bills passed, but you begin to shape the debate. The more we talk about the horrors of abortion and what it means to our society, the better off we will do. But if we only talk about it in defensive ways, if we only talk about it in ways that we're sort of uncomfortable or embarrassed to talk about it, then guess what? The people see that we don't even have the courage of our convictions and are not going to be convinced.
And thanks to you, Senator, during the presidential campaign of 2012, you brought social issues back to the forefront. The party platform is resolute that it's pro-life, it's for traditional marriage, that it stands for conservative values. This is the grassroots of the Republican Party, and yet you get people like Haley Barbour and Mitch Daniels early in the presidential campaign of 2012 calling for a moratorium on social issues.
A truce.
Yeah.
I don't know why you'd call for a truce when the state of play for your issue is that you've lost everywhere. I mean, the Supreme Court has sort of taken this out of our hands, and the only way to get back it is to continue to fight at the state level and at the national level. And the idea that we would assign on a truce where abortion is legal pretty much at any time for any reason in most of the country is not a very smart decision. And it's a smart decision if you don't care about the issue. It's a smart decision if you don't think it's important. I happen to think it's important. I think most Republicans and conservatives do too.
Well, that's right, and that's why conservatives mobilized behind you. You shocked the Republican establishment coming out of Iowa by winning Iowa, and I think they realized how serious this was. In fact, Mr. Romney then started to support conservative issues and starting to pledge support. Now, we thank him for it ultimately, and I think your influence on the campaign was in measure due to that fact. In fact, Mr. Romney received some support, additional support, as the nominee because he did stand behind traditional marriage and for the pro-life platform. Without doing that, it would have been a far worse loss for him on election night, for sure.
Well, I don't think there's any question in my mind about that. In fact, I would make the argument that the best way for us to win our election is to do exactly the opposite of what Barack Obama did, which is he went out and this election and said, look, this is who I am, and I'm going to go out and run pro-choice ads, which he did. I'm going to go out and run ads talking about, government needs to do more, and I'm going to rally our folks, and we're going to turn them out in huge numbers, and that's how we're going to win this election. And guess what? He did. Mitt Romney won independents, but he lost the election because he wasn't able to go out and energize a large group of Americans who do not see President Obama's policies as a winning policy. They don't see government handouts as a way of prosperity in America. And they don't like the value structure that he's laid out. But we didn't really lay out a compelling vision on the other side. We tried to be a little less than what he was, and as far as I'm concerned, that's a losing message.
Without question, it was a losing recipe, and now we're all living with the consequences. After the election, there was a real letdown, Senator. I saw in our own people across the state just depleted. Some people even tuned out for a while. They basically just said, okay, I can't take it anymore, and they went on with their everyday life. Now,
I get it. I mean, I saw that frustration, and you mentioned Patriot Voices. I mean, starting Patriot Voices, we started it during the election, but since the election, I have to tell you, people have really hesitated to engage. We've found a few issues that, we took some leadership on in Washington, D.C., one on a U.N. treaty that was going to hamper parents with children who have children with disabilities, called the Convention on the Rights of People with Disability, which is a horrible U.N. power grab.
Yes.
And we got people engaged in that, and obviously on some of the pro-life fights but in some of the budget fights that we're having. But I understand people are justifiably angry about what's going on in the country and even what's going on within the Republican Party.
That's right. In fact, the president's poll numbers are so low. In fact, I think a recent Gallup poll showed his approval rating at 41% and falling. So, people are really dissatisfied what they see happening in Washington with the president, seeing him disengaged, not only on domestic issues, but also on international issues. As you see the crisis emerging in Egypt, and they seem to be an administration without a clue as to how to address the Egyptian crisis in the Middle East.
What's going on in Egypt right now with, you have the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, people just need to take a step back and understand who the Muslim Brotherhood is. The Muslim Brotherhood, read their charter. They talk about jihad. They talk about destroying the West. Al-Qaeda, everyone say, oh, we're only at war with Al-Qaeda. Well, where do you think Al-Qaeda's theology comes from? Where they respond from? The Muslim Brotherhood. It's Hassan al-Banna and Saeed Qutb. Those are the guys who started the Muslim Brotherhood. They are the folks that Osama bin Laden used to quote all the time. And we sat on the sidelines, allowed them to do what all these tyrants do, which is one election, one man, one vote, one time. And that's all they were. And there was never going to be another free election in Egypt as long as the Muslim Brotherhood was in power, because they don't believe in that. They believe in Sharia law imposing their religious values on everybody else in the country. And what's happened now with the military seizing back what was clearly an attempt by the Brotherhood to seize power absolutely, we see the president waffling all over the place as the Muslim Brotherhood takes out their anger on Christians, burning churches, killing Christians, driving them out of the country, and we sit there and do nothing. And it's just the ineptitude of this administration on dealing with the enemies that we have, the naivete that they have with respect to the people that want to do us harm, is really an increasing threat, not just to our friends around the world, but ultimately to Americans around the world and in this country.
Well, that's right, Senator. And the silence in Washington is deafening when you consider that the Coptic Christians have now become the target of the Muslim Brotherhood in their anger and their outrage. They become the persecuted minority. I heard a gentleman from the Jewish League talking on Fox News. He said, we as a Jewish community understand to be the persecuted minority. The Coptic Christians make up 10% of that nation. And so in their frustration against the military, they've targeted the Coptic Christians and, like you said, destroyed over 50 churches and burned them, and also have murdered many Christians as well and targeted their homes. This is an outrage, and yet in Washington says nothing. We sit back. Obviously, we have encouraged as an organization, the Ohio Christian Alliance, to pray for our Christian brothers and sisters in Egypt. But to see this ineptness and this indifference from Washington is just, it really is.
Well, the language you hear from Washington is we're cutting off aid to the military. We're saying, you know, both sides get together. You know, we don't want the Muslim, we should not want the Muslim Brotherhood back in charge of Egypt. We should not want folks who are terrorizing Christians and burning churches. We shouldn't want them to be in charge. We shouldn't want people who suspended parts of the Constitution once they got in power and told the judiciary that they didn't have any authority. We shouldn't want those folks back in authority, particularly when they were establishing closer ties to Iran. I mean, here's the odd situation. The two countries that are calling for the restoration of the Muslim Brotherhood as the leader of Egypt are Iran and the United States. Is there something strange about that combination?
Yeah, you know, I've been watching this, Senator, and actually it was the Wall Street Journal or the Bloomberg report that gave the reporting was most accurate. You know, when you look at CNN and some of the liberal media and MSNBC and their reporting of what's happening in Egypt, that, okay, Morsi was democratically elected. Yeah, but he became a dictator, and he was moving towards it by suspending their constitution, by limiting access to the courts. People saw what was happening here, and yet he said nothing against the attacks that were happening against Coptic Christians ever since he took power. And so when the mass rallies came out to depose him, it wasn't just the Coptic Christian minority. They're only 10% of the nation. Obviously, a majority of people wanted him out.
Yeah, a majority of Muslims wanted him out. You're right. It wasn't just the Christian community. It was folks who saw what he was up to, and they didn't want to go the way of Iran. They see what happens when radical Islamists take control of a country. And if you want an example of that, you see Iran, and that was a country that too had a revolution that installed a quote popular, they have popular elections, which are no more than fraudulent elections that have nothing to do with the real values of the people in the community.
Again, this is a result of the election of 2012 with the re-election of Barack Obama for president. And how would you grade Mr. Kerry then as the new Secretary of State? Obviously, he had a lot thrown at him and put on his plate, but how would you rate him so far as Secretary of State?
Is there a grade below F?
I think there is, actually. But.
I don't know. If there's a grade below failing, then I would say that. I mean, it's pathetic. This is a foreign policy team that, again, refuses to identify who the enemy is and refuses to confront people who wish to do us and our interests harm around the world.
Well, getting your message out, Senator, and the conservative message is so critical. And I think that, you know, as we talked about people disengaged with the disappointment of the election results, they're now starting to warm up a little bit. And they're looking for leadership. They're looking for conservative leadership. You have patriot voices out there, and it's really keeping people in tune of what's happening coast to coast. But you also had another exciting announcement that just came up, and you're involved with a new media platform. Explain that to us.
It's called Echo Light Studios. We are produce and distribute faith and family movies. And we just announced our first film, which is a small film. It's under our Echo Light Partners brand. And it's a film that is focused really on the church and church screenings and getting churches to go to movie theaters. And if you go to the name of the movie is Seasons of Gray, G-R-A-Y, Seasons of Gray. And if you go to seasonsofgray.com, you'll actually be able to see a little bit about the film. It's it's interesting. It's a modern day Joseph story. So it's a story based on the biblical Joseph, and it's set in the modern day. It's a great little film, and we're real excited to be presenting it to the public.
Well, Senator, thank you for joining us today. We know that you're getting ready to catch a flight. We appreciate you checking in with us back here in Ohio. You know how we all love and support you here. Give us the website for Patriot Voices and how people can sign up for the email alerts.
It's patriotvoices.com, and you can sign up for email alerts. And we're going to be active and engaged in the fight, and we'd love to have you join our team and maybe even start a chapter in your local community in Ohio.
Wonderful, Senator. Well, we're going to have you back here to Ohio, and we wish you and your wonderful family all the blessings of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Chris. God bless.
God bless you. Bye. That's former Senator of Pennsylvania, Rick Santorum, who's heading up Patriot Voices. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back. Don't go away.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Well, if you've just tuned in, you've been listening to Christian News in Focus, and we come to you each week at this same time. And I'm Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance, and we're glad that you've joined us. And today, of course, you heard former Senator Rick Santorum and presidential candidate of 2012 primary, which he picked up 69 of Ohio's 88 counties, and he's continuing to go. He's out there, he's speaking on conservative issues, and that's the kind of guest you're going to hear on this program. The Ohio Christian Alliance website is where you can learn more about our organization, OhioCA.org. And also, we have an upcoming Freedom Banquet, October 12th. That's in Akron, Fairlawn, Hilton. And we hope that you'll join us. And again, that will be at 6 p.m. You can register for the banquet. That's the Fall Freedom Banquet at OhioCA.org. Just $60 a ticket. And you can also sponsor a table there as well. And we have a big announcement of who our speakers are going to be. So you want to stay tuned to that. Again, thanks for joining us here at Christian News in Focus. And we'll see you next week. God bless. Thank you.
You've been listening to Christian News in Focus with Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Chris is available to speak to your group or organization. To contact Chris, please call 330-887-1922. That's 330-887-1922. Or visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Christian News in Focus is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio. Thank you for listening.